scripture reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. And I think I need my glasses, but they don't look, no. I thankfully have a Bible in front of me. Oh, that's much better. Okay. Dear friends, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we could have life through him. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God. It is God's love for us. He sent his Son to die in our place, to take away our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us that much, we also should love each other. I'd like to invite Pastor.
The Bible tells us to love. But have you ever wondered how to do that? After all, how do we even know what love really is? The Bible talks a lot about love. And one of the people who loved best of all was John. That's because he was one of Jesus' very best friends. Jesus loved him very much. So if anyone knew about love, John did. John wrote a letter that we call the Book of 1 John in the Bible. It says that love comes from God. Love is who God is. And only God can give us a new heart. A heart that knows him and loves like he does. The person who refuses to love doesn't really know anything about God, because God is love. So when you know God, you know real love. And I'm not talking about the kissy kind of love you read about in books or see in movies either. This kind of love is different. This kind of love starts with God. Not that we once upon a time loved him, but that he loved us. God loves us so much. And this is how we know it. God sent his only Son, Jesus, into the world so we can have a close friendship with God and know his love. God loved us first. He didn't wait for us to come to him. He came to us instead. If God loved us like that, shouldn't we love others like that too? When we love one another, we show what God is like. As we love others, his love becomes stronger and healthier and bigger inside of us. That's perfect love. That's the kind of love the whole world can see. So we can love others because we can show them the kind of love God has for us. So you see, whoever loves God must also love others. Loving God includes loving people. You can't love one without the other. You've got to love both. That's because God is love. Real love. And that's what it's all about.
God is love. We believe that, all of us. The problem is not what we believe. The problem is that we don't allow what we believe to impact how we act. We make a separation between our faith that God is love, and how we treat one another and the world around us. And so in the next few months, we're going to look at this very closely. We're going to start today. I'm going to whet your appetite. I pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to convict not only you but me of all the ways in which I do not allow this simple truth, God is love, into my daily practice. Let's pray. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would edit this message, that what you want said will be said, that you would be in our lives and open our ears to hear and our hearts to do what you have called us to do. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We believe it in our heads. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. When I was 11 years old, I left home and never returned. And I became a Christian on Good Friday. Some of you are old enough to remember the Cetera twins. They were in our church. I made my commitment then. It was the most incredible experience of my life. God came into my life, and his love was so overpowering. I cried. I rejoiced. You see, here I was, a child who had been told over and over and over again by an abusive father that I did not deserve to live. And he followed it up daily with taking me and often choking me until I passed out. And then when I came to, he'd do it again. And so this concept that God loved me was absolutely so liberating. I had a heavenly father who was not like my earthly father. I was on cloud nine. I believe this. God is love. It didn't take very long before Satan came into my life and started to say, well, God is love, yes, but he doesn't love your father. He doesn't love those who abuse others. No child molester could ever be loved by God. And I operated on that principle for a long time. The problem was, the more I allowed the butts to enter into my life, when I said, God doesn't love the bully, God doesn't love the mass murderer, God can't love Hitler, God can't love the rapist. By the way, we know a very, very, very popular rapist, and we celebrate him regularly. His name was King David. He was a rapist. And yet it's okay for him to be loved by God, but not others. You know what I do know? I know that 81% of all the women in this world that we live in are sexually harassed at some point in their lives. That means almost everybody here who's a woman. That's a terrible thing. And for some people, it's very traumatic. It's not just a word. It's just not a lewd comment. It's actual physical abuse. And so it's easy to say God is love, but he doesn't love the rapist. God is love, but he doesn't love the person who has broken my heart by spreading rumors about me. God is love, but he doesn't love the boss who cheats me out of a promotion. God is love, but he can't love my neighbor. Look at how that person acts. Look at how they treat their property and devalue mine. I know of Christians in Western Canada who say God is love, but he doesn't love natives. As a matter of fact, in some cases, if a native moves on their block, they sell their home and move somewhere else. God is love, but not when it comes to Native Canadians. I know of people who say God is love, but not when it comes to ragheads, particularly in Vancouver. How can we say God is love and then stick a butt in there? We do it. I grew up in Windsor, which is a multicultural place. I grew up in Little Italy in Windsor. God is love, but he doesn't love the Italians. It is so easy for us to say God is love. It is a far different thing for us to say that God is love and he loves everyone. As long as you and I limit God's love, we cannot know him. What we believe doesn't make it into our practice. That's why churches are in trouble. That's why there are fights in the church. That's why there are people who want to control things. Because if God is love, you give up control. What does God do? He's the creator of the universe, and he sent his son. You see, love is an action word. In the 60s, we used to have a poster with a happy puppy on it. And it was, love is a verb. Remember that? Love is an action, and God shows his action very clearly in that he sends his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, and he dies for the rapist, he dies for the mass murderer, he dies for the pedophile, he dies for the person who is a bully, he dies for the liar and the cheat and the swindler. He dies for them all. God never inserts into his love the word but. That's in our vocabulary. That's what we do. That's the problem, because we say God is love, but it doesn't apply to this situation because look at what they said to me. Look at how they treated me. Look at what they've done. Yes, God is love, but don't put something away wrong in the kitchen. Don't mess up the bathrooms. God is love, but don't you dare act in an inappropriate way in the sanctuary. Why do we do these things? We do them because we have a head knowledge and no practice. And what happens as soon as that happens, we make this separation and we fall into the trap of knowing things about God, but not knowing him personally. You see, Jesus died for the soldiers who took the whip and whipped him. Jesus died for Pilate. Jesus died for King Herod. Jesus died for my father. And that's not easy for me to accept, because I want to exclude him. If God said, you can push him into the pit of hell, I'd be the first one in line to do it. But I am confronted with this concept that God is love. If he is truly love, he loves my father. He loves the person who's raped you. He loves the person who has cheated you, who has lied to you, who has basically made your life hell from the moment you met them. And if you say but about them, you're in trouble. I'm not a Pentecostal type person. In fact, I believe that Pentecostals are sincerely wrong. Well, actually, when I was younger, I believed that they were right from the pit of hell. You know, like, as a young theologian, like, they were just wrong, and they weren't getting to heaven. And God taught me that God died for the Pentecostals. Now I love them, or try to love them. I'm working on it. But I believe they're sincerely wrong. You see, I feared the Pentecostals. We fear the Italians in my neighborhood. Some people fear the people from the Middle East. Some of us fear the Muslims. Some of us fear the person who says that they're gay or lesbian, or they don't know what they are. And as soon as we do that, our fear then says God loves, but not them. Let me tell you, if God is love, he loves the lesbian. If God is love, he loves the gay person. If God is love, he loves the transgender person. If God is love, he loves the person who's not sure of their sexuality. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for them. You see, it is one thing to say God is love. It is a far different thing to actually begin to wrap your brain and your heart around this radical notion that God is nothing but love. He unconditionally accepts us exactly the way we are. I tell you I love you, and then I go about trying to change you. I made a commitment to Gail to love her, and for the last 27 years, I've been working on her, and she's resisting every minute. And I think she does the same for me. She loves me, but there's a lot of refining that needs to be done. My friends, think about this. Think of how hard this really is. To actually know that God is love and then let it change how you act. How you use this building. How you treat one another. How you deal with conflict. How you deal with your children. Let me clue you into something. Whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. So if you're one of these people who say God is love, cut off your head from your heart, and you act as if you hate people, your children will know it. You cannot lie to them. You can lie to me. You can make me think that you really get this and that you really love them. I can lie to you. I can convince you that I got this all together. But my children know better. When I was a young man, just growing in the faith, I walked angry. I used to thump everywhere. And I have a 40-year-old daughter now. And she walks angry. Man, does it ever come back to bite you in the butt? It comes back every single time. What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. So if we can't come to the place where we really let God being love into our lives and apply that across the board, no matter who it is, no matter what they've done, no matter where they're from, no matter what color their skin, our children will take that and make it even worse. And they will what? Not know God. This passage tells us that if you accept that God is love and you allow that into your life, you will know him. It doesn't say you'll know about him. It doesn't say you'll have the right theology. It doesn't say that you will have the right Bible translation or wear the right clothes. It says you will know God. And there is a big difference between having head knowledge and having a knowledge of God that dictates how you treat each other and the world around you. So let me summarize it for you. We all believe that God is love. That's not the problem. We're all on the same page there. The problem is our practices are determining to the world what God's love looks like. And right now, God looks like a terrible God. Right now, you cannot fool the community around us. They know that you're at war with each other. They know that there is conflict here. They know that there is a power struggle going on at First Baptist Mount Forest. Your kids know it, your grandchildren know it, and your great-grandchildren know it. And you want them to come to know Jesus? Get your act together, people. Because they're not interested in that kind of God. They just aren't. And they know that you have the right knowledge, but you do not have the right heart. And you will not fool them. Our practice stops us from learning about God. Our limiting of God's love is stunting our growth. Our lack of knowing God leads us to our own devices, which is just a mess. Yes, but do you really expect me to let people walk all over me? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Jesus Christ not only turned the other cheek and went the extra mile, he became sin for us. He became the mass murderer. He became the rapist. He became the bully, the liar, the cheat. All of those things were laid on him, and it was a mess. And so there is no but. If you're looking around this room and maybe the person who you have conflict with is not here today, and your first thought is God is going to punish them, you got head knowledge and no practice. Let me say it to you again. Listen closely. If there is somebody who you believe that God should punish, then you have head knowledge that God is love, but you have no practice. Our first response should be, God is love, they've hurt me, and God still loves them. And I've hurt them, and he still loves me. Absolutely amazing. Three things in the next 6 months we're going to look at over and over again. God is love. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we are saved by grace and not by works. The bottom line, folks, is you have the same problem I do. I'm good at the theology. I suck at the practice. I know that to all be true, but then I act as if I'm God. And I'm going to tell him how to work this out, because I've got it all figured out. And that is the lie. That is where we need to repent. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for all of your gifts. You've given us so much. And this morning, some of us are going to give back to you a portion of it to remind ourselves to keep our hands open, to keep our hearts open, so that you can take this money that we give and change our world. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory and power forever and ever. And all God's people said,